All right, let's go ahead and get started. So my name is Bradley Bartz. I'm a PM on the Azure Stack team. And today we're gonna talk about agile service delivery with Azure Stack. Now, what does that even mean? Azure Stack, much like Azure, is a self-service platform. So customers can log into Azure Stack and they can deploy their solutions. They can build all kinds of agile custom solutions that they're building on top of the platform. It is a self-service platform. But as an operator of Azure Stack, there are also opportunities to add new capabilities to the platform you get. So that's what we're going to talk about today. As an operator, whether you're an enterprise running Azure Stack for your organization, or whether you're a service provider who's deploying Azure Stack as a self-service cloud to your customers, and your ability to enhance and extend the platform as well. So that's what we're really going to talk about. As an operator, how can I build on this platform called Azure Stack? So let's go ahead and get started. So one, as you're learning, Azure Stack is building on as an integrated system from Dell, HPE, and Lenovo. And on that integrated system comes a stable, predictable environment. And that's key, to really have that robust, solid platform underneath which we can start innovating and doing some agility on top of. Then we have an automated cloud service delivery model that's facilitated fundamentally through our robust cloud model, which is driven by our Azure Resource Manager. It's that ARM platform that gives us that way to model services. On top of that, we then get the agile self-service experiences. Now that's for customers and operators alike. And then we can grow our ecosystem on top of that. So this is kind of the layering, and we're going to drill into that a little bit. And hopefully you're getting this message about cloud is a model and not a place, because that's fundamental. Even for services that we're adding to the platform, we're saying that the same models we use for service delivery in Azure as we build services, the same model that our customers use for building their applications, accrue value to Azure Stack. Okay, so how do we focus on which services to start bringing to Stack? Because one of the ways you can add value to Azure Stack is the addition of more PaaS services, more platform services to the platform. So how do we prioritize? Because if you look at Azure, there's a whole bunch of services out there. So what's the priority for bringing services to Stack? And that's to focus on solutions. So we're going through our solution catalog, and we're looking at the solutions offered in Azure today and looking what solutions can we bring to Azure Stack and in what order, and how do we prioritize that for driving service availability. So we're focusing on a set of solutions from digital marketing, microservices and applications, mobile, development and test, e-commerce, and of course SharePoint is a set of solutions that we're driving as the first round of solutions to light up in Azure Stack. And then we look at which platform services do these solutions have dependencies on to be viable on your platform. So that's what we're going to look at now. And solutions are built on services. Now there's several ways to extend Azure Stack. One way is with marketplace content. As an operator of Azure Stack, you're in control. You have the ability to populate the local marketplace. So even Azure Stack has its own self-contained marketplace. You own it. You determine what's in it. It's your job to populate it. Those are the building blocks for solutions. Many of the solutions in Azure draw on content from the marketplace as well as PaaS services. So they're one way to start adding content. The other is additional platform services. Now, Azure Stack has a set of platform services that come in the box. We generally refer to those as foundational services. And then there's additional platform services that as an operator you can deploy on Stack for offering to your customers. Those are additional platform services. We also have an ISV ecosystem, some of which are building marketplace content that can then be published into your marketplace, some of which are actually building platform services that extend the back end, adding new capabilities as well as full integration into the management portal. So that's another way to extend the platform to add value, as adding this from a third-party ISV. And then, just like our ISVs and third parties can do, as an operator, you also have the ability to extend the platform with maybe some internal capabilities that you want to offer to your customers with tighter integration to capabilities inside your organization or in the service provider. So how is that done? This is kind of a rough approximation of the architecture of Azure Stack. There's the cloud infrastructure on the bottom. Remember I mentioned those foundational services that come in the box? That's that next layer. We call that our extensible service framework, and it starts with those foundational services. Then there's those additional platform services, and that's what you add on top of it that didn't come in the box. And then tying those together are things we call core services. What are core services? Well, it's not quite infra. We know what the infra is for our cloud infrastructure. So what are those core services? Well, those are things like subscriptions. Those are things like the marketplace. It's all those other things that tie it together to make it a self-service cloud. Those are those self-service services, enablers, that are part of the platform. On top of that, we have our unified application model. So let's start, we'll click into this for just a moment and start drilling into it. Okay, and then our end user experiences. Those end user experiences are coming through Portal. They're also coming through APIs, PowerShell, CLI. It's the way that customers access the cloud. Our unified application model is the Azure Resource Manager. It is the control plane for the cloud. All things that are being, even for an operator, when you manage the cloud, you're going through the Azure Resource Manager. So as an operator, you're getting benefits of RBAC. You're getting benefits of the monitoring and deployment logs of the Azure Resource Manager. It's part of the experience all up. The core services I was mentioning, subscription, marketplace, metrics, RBAC, there. Foundational services, compute, storage, networking. And then we're adding some additional platform services like Key Vault, the fundamental things you must have for all other services, running on top of our infrastructure. Now, let's talk about extensibility. First thing you can do to add value is to bring more, is to populate your marketplace with more and more artifacts. And those artifacts can come from Microsoft as well as third parties that you're getting directly or your own artifacts that you publish. So the first way to add value is to start building up your catalog. Okay? First way to go. Next way to go would be to get additional PaaS services from Microsoft. And these are services that we'll make available, like the websites and Service Fabric, as additional services that can lay on top of the foundational services and go in there. And that's part of the services we'll be building up over time. Now, when we deliver additional platform services, we have a little life cycle we go through. The model that we're using is to, one, develop the service in Azure. We want to harden it in Azure, operate it at hyperscale, make sure we get that service right so it goes through its own kind of preview life cycle, its own scale set of requirements to go through. We add kind of the provider experiences then. Before we can deliver a service, for example, like the app services to our customers, in Azure, those are maintained with a lot of custom PowerShell and automation that the dev teams and the service teams use. But by the time we get around to delivering that service into Azure Stack, we have to build a self-service management experience to go with app services. So we add those. Once we get that, we can deliver that service into your data center. So it takes us a little bit longer to harden that service and make it available for deployment to Azure Stack. All right. So let's talk about Azure Platform Services as one way to extend the platform, or another way. There's a whole bunch of these. By the way, if you ever want to know what are the platform services in Azure, here's a link. Go hit that link. It's azureplatform.azurewebsites.net. And each one of those little blue boxes is clickable and will give you documentation and samples and a lot of information about each service. So it's not just eye candy. It's an access point for all those services. So you can play with it. Now, there's a lot there, and they're not all going to come to Azure Stack, and some are, so let's talk about how we prioritize that. Remember, it's about solutions, and platform services are enabling solutions. So where are we starting? Our foundational services. Remember those foundational ones. So in this case, Portal, the virtual machine, storage, blobs, tables, queues, virtual networking, load balancing, VPN gateway, Key Vault. These are the foundational services. These foundational services enable a set of solutions. They are sufficient for doing our dev and test solutions. They're sufficient for the SharePoint on Azure and our microservices architecture. These are sufficient to start enabling a set of solutions, and they also light up a significant portion of our marketplace. So those foundational services, when you look at the marketplace, see those categories? those categories actually tie to what platform services are they dependent on. So when I click the compute category, those are really tying back to those foundational services that were there in the box. So when you populate the marketplace, that's what you're using in populating those. Okay, next round of additional services. Here we have a set of web app and mobile and API apps that are coming as part of the app services family, as well as we're creating some bridging RPs for SQL and MySQL that allow us to provide some database as a service capabilities on top of our SQL Server and MySQL running it as an IaaS in the platform for some data connectivity to make web apps and these other services work. With those set of services right there, we're enabling another round of solutions from app modernization, from digital marketing and e-commerce. So now we have a fuller catalog of solutions that are built on those past services, and we also light up another part of our catalog. Notice now that we're in the web and mobile category. Those web and mobile categories are now using these additional PaaS services that are lighting up in Azure. Then we have hybrid services. These are services that run in Azure. They don't deploy in Azure Stack, but they're running in Azure, and they're Azure Stack aware. You can connect to them. If you play with Azure Stack, one of the things you'll notice right away is that we actually are using AD, Azure Active Directory, as a default configuration. We are adding ADFS in the future, and it's coming up before TP3. But out of the box, it's about a hybrid connectivity, a single sign-on and flowing between Azure and Azure Stack. You can also integrate with OMS and automation, log analytics, traffic manager, ExpressRoute for building solutions. Okay, there's a growing list of marketplace content that is growing in Azure that will eventually be made available for Azure Stack. One of the features that you saw us show in the last couple of sessions is about marketplace syndication. This is what we're doing to help make Azure Stack Azure Marketplace artifacts available for customers. Matter of fact, has everybody seen the marketplace syndication? Or has anybody not seen it? I'm going to show it to you anyways. All right. So I'm going to switch gears right now. All right. This is the operator management portal to Azure Stack. So as an operator, this is where I manage Stack. I go in, I manage my cloud infrastructure. One of the things that you can do, remember, start adding marketplace content. You want to populate your marketplace. There's a new capability we've added in TP2, which allows you as the operator to go ahead and start uploading items into the image repository for Azure Stack. We can go in and we can add new VM images. Here we can add Windows or Linux images. And we can add custom images. We can take an image, sysprep it, build it up however you need to for your organization and start populating the catalog with all kinds of custom content that you're developing for your business, whether it's internal to your organization or as a service provider that you're extending to your tenants. So you do have that ability to add these custom capabilities. One of the new things that we're building right now in Azure, though, is a direct syndication from the Azure Marketplace. You as an operator can start looking through content that's coming from our Azure Marketplace that we're making available. That's this add from Azure capabilities. Now, this is a syndicated feed. This feed is coming from that new service that we're building in Azure. So in Azure, we have a service and a feed that is connecting. Azure Stack connects to that feed. And here's a list of syndicatable content from the Azure Marketplace. And these are items that we, Microsoft, are creating in the marketplace and making available for syndication, as well as images and solutions that our ISV ecosystem is building, publishing into Azure, and tagging for redistribution into Stack. So this is a list that's, and this is previewing on top of TP2. So when you get TP2, it's not there in the box, but it's an additional capability that we'll be previewing while TP2 is out and before TP3. So you can sign up for that and basically get in access to that preview program. And then here, you can basically pick these images and go ahead and kick off a download. And then that will do a download. It'll start the download. Here, I'll go ahead and click download. And that's starting a download process. And this is actually downloading the VM. It's downloading those images from the Azure repository. It's being downloaded into Azure Stack. It's happening on the server. In Stack, it's doing the download, and then it's going to publish it locally and make that available to your customers. And that process is off and going. Matter of fact, if I go back, you can see here now, it's downloading. It's an actively downloading service, and when it's there. Okay? So that's another way to add value. Switch gears for just a second here. Okay. Okay, ultimately that's showing that one, we Microsoft have a catalog that we're curating, as well as a marketplace that you as an operator are also curating for your organization, whether it's inside the firewall in an IT corporation or whether it's as a service provider. What I want to do right now, so far we've talked about platform extensibility with new PaaS services that we're making available. We've also talked about a way to add new marketplace content, whether you're creating the content and uploading it or whether you're actually getting it through syndication through the Azure Marketplace. Another way to extend your platform is with an ISV solution that has built a new PaaS offering, a new solution that tightly integrates with Azure Stack. So to demonstrate that, I'm going to introduce Patrick to come up, and he's the CTO and co-founder of GridPro. All right. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks. Okay, let's see here. So first of all, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be able to show you how we've extended the platform. So while this is getting started, here we go. So first of all, let me tell you a little something about GridPro. GridPro is based out of Sweden, and we do software for Microsoft Cloud platforms, and we're focusing on ITSM software. And with Azure Stack, we're focusing in on IT service operations. So we've been on the market for a few years, and we have some products out there for System Center Service Manager and for Windows Azure Pack, where we basically bring a service catalog experience onto the Windows Azure Pack platform. Now, what are we doing with Azure Stack? Well, we're one of the ISVs that are actually building a full-blown RP. So you saw there's multiple ways that you can extend the platform, right? You can add the marketplace items, but you could also do as we do. We add a full-blown RP, which will give you new types of resources that you can now manage inside of the Azure Resource Manager. And you will see me create some sort of artifacts there that will support the capabilities that we're adding to the platform. And we've also added a full-blown UI experience there. So basically, we're sitting on top of Azure Stack, providing you with capabilities to do customer support and to manage the marketplace as a service catalog and defining custom offerings. So we're actually helping you to extend the marketplace with new type of offerings. I'll show you that in a bit. And we're also giving you capabilities to do event workflows within that product. And allowing you to connect back to current ITSM solutions that you might have already in place today. So, before we go further, the service catalog part, which I will show you, where you will see that added UI experience in the portal, that allows you to define, going through a wizard-like experience, go and define new marketplace items, define a request fulfillment process for that item that now will be exposed in the gallery or the marketplace. And you will also be able to do, if you're a service provider, you will be able to do customer support within the portal. So your customers, the tenants, users, don't have to leave that portal to seek help if they, my laptop just died here, that's not good. There we go. So if they need to seek support from you guys, they can do that by raising a ticket directly within that portal, and you can provide and interact with those directly in the portal, right? So with that said, I'm gonna jump over to my demo environment here. Number 7. Let's see if we can get some luck. That's not what I was hoping for. Here we go. Perfect. Okay, so now I'm logged on as a provider. And what I've done is I've gone to the marketplace and I've created something that we call an EvOps account. So this is a new resource type that gets exposed once you've added our resource provider to the Azure Stack. So that allows you to create these accounts, which are basically containers of functionality. So in this case, you can see that I have access to tickets, I have access to something called request templates, event rules, and ticketing integrations. So basically, those all components supports the capabilities that you just saw on the slide there. Now, the example that I want to show you here of what our RP is delivering to Stack is basically how you can go and define a new offering for the marketplace through a wizard experience. So if you want to do that, you start up by creating what we call the request template. And in this case, I've created something called the test server. So I want to tailor a service that my customers can now go and request from the marketplace. I want to tailor that. What will be provisioned in Azure Stack once they've gone and requested this? How is the UI experience going to look like when they go and make the request in the marketplace? What questions do they need to answer? What requirements do I have on these questions? Some might be optional, some might be required, some of them you might want to validate with a regular expression and all that kind of stuff. You can add behaviors to this UX experience that you define directly in this wizard. So, but you start with selecting a type. So once someone has requested it, it's going to actually end up as a ticket or as a request. So that can be a service request or an incident. Then you go and fill out all the marketplace information that you want to expose in that marketplace. So it could be a name, a description, which categories it should be exposed under. If you want to add icons, you want to add screenshots, all that stuff that gets surfaced in the marketplace. Now, once that is done, as I said, you can go and define a workflow, like how are we going to deliver this service to the customer? So we've added a workflow support here that can manage that process, and you have a set of different activities that you can use to build that workflow. So in this case, I have a review activity that someone is going to review the request before it actually gets provisioned. So the second activity is going to be something that we call a deployment activity. And in here, you can add any JSON template for doing ARM deployments. And there's a bunch of templates available online. You can just go and grab those and put those in a deployment activity, and you're good to go. So what we'll do with that template is basically that we'll read through that template and see what parameters it requires. This part is actually going to be used in what we call mappings. But before we get there, you also need to define the UI experience. So in here, we have a set of different prompt types, like text boxes, date time pickers, sliders, or all types of controls that you can use to define the UI experience that a requesting user would have to go through before this gets provisioned. So in this case, I have some text boxes here to collect the machine name, a local admin username, I have a password prompt to collect the password, then I have a SKU picker to select the size of the machine, and you can configure all these prompts directly in this wizard, so you can basically define your own SKUs here. Then I have a slider to select how long does the requesting user want to have this test server for. So basically, if they're going to use this machine for doing tests, they might say, I only need it for 10 days. Then we're actually going to go and deprovision that automatically. And remember, this is just one example of an offering that I am now adding, well, defining and adding to the marketplace. So once you're pleased with the workflow and the UI, you go to the mapping part. And in here, basically, you say, I want to use the collected data in a certain way. So I'm going to map the computer name that I've collected in the UI to the VM name parameter in my deployment activity. So basically, you can select from different questions there. Now, once you've done with that, you've basically defined a fully capable offering that we can now publish to the marketplace. So you save this and you click publish. Now this becomes available for all your tenants through the marketplace. So if I go over to this session where I'm actually logged on as a tenant, and I now go to the marketplace, I'll go to compute, because that was one of the categories that I put into that marketplace information. I find my test server, and now we're surfacing the information that I actually added to that marketplace space in my definition. If I click create, we're rendering a UI based on those input controls that you selected and added to the UI experience. So someone is going to pay for this set test server, so I'm selecting one of my subscriptions. I'm creating a new resource group here. So I'm placing this server somewhere. I'm giving my machine a name, and this is required, and this is because I added that type of behavior to my UI definition. Oh, there we go. Pick a SKU. And these are definable. You select icons and units or whatever you want to show in there. Now I'm going to keep this for 10 days. I'm going to use a baseline configuration of a web server. And that will actually trigger a... that will mean that the VM actually in the end will connect to a DSC configuration node and just go and apply configuration to that server. So this is just an example of what you can accomplish, right? Just by using that wizard experience, go and define the workflow, the UI, map those two together, publish it to the marketplace, and now you have that new offering available there for your tenants. Now, in this case, there was actually a review activity. So this means that someone needs to review this before we actually go and do any deployment. So you define that workflow. If you consider that, well, this could be a good idea to actually have a review, or you have a security approval or something like that, you can put that in place in the workflow. Now, what we see is actually a request object now. So this is what becomes available for the tenant. And in here, they can track that workflow, and they can see that there is a review actually in progress. So nothing else will happen until that is done. So I go over to the other browser session here, where I'm logged on as the service provider. And in this case, the service provider is actually responsible for doing that approval. So I go to my assignments. Here we go. And I should see an assignment that is matching the request number here, 462. So now the person that is responsible for actually doing the review can review that request, see all the details of that before they actually go and make the approval. So I'm fine with that, so let's approve that. And now if we go back to the tenant experience again, we will see that that actually becomes completed anytime soon. And the process will continue. So the next activity in line in your workflow definition will kick off and actually go and do that deployment. So this is one of the capabilities that we're adding to Azure Stack by creating our own custom resource provider that is extending functionality by our own workflow engine, our own data models, our own UX experience, and we go and surface that in Azure Stack. Now, what is so fine with Azure Stack for us as an ISV as well is we have all the components that our product actually requires available in the stack. So we're not adding any additional footprint in your data center just because we're adding a product. It's actually just new capabilities added on top of Stack. Now, since we as an ISV, we bought into Azure Stack as a concept and as a platform, this is very easily done for you. So that is one thing that we think is really great with Azure Stack as an ISV. So you see now that the deployment actually picked up. It's now in progress. And that will go and do the deployment, but just not before the review in this case, because we choose to have that in place. Okay, so this was the service catalog part of our product. I wanted to show you one more scenario there. I think we have time for that, right? So let's say you're a tenant, and you have now gone and provisioned something from the marketplace, or via PowerShell or whatever method you prefer to do or to use. Now you have an issue with one of your resources. Maybe you've done some configuration which you couldn't figure it out, or you have a problem with a VM and you're gonna need support to actually figure this out. Well, you don't actually have to go somewhere else to seek support now, because you could use that capability that I showed you as a service provider to actually go and define an item for the marketplace that your tenants could use to actually seek support. So they could be going to the marketplace and going to compute in this case, and I find something called virtual machine support. So I, as a service provider, I define this form which could be suitable for a tenant to use to actually seek support about a virtual machine. So in this case, I basically want to collect what is the affected resource and what is the actual problem. So I have some basic information that I need to fill in here first. And these could all be configured to be default values, or you can add some logic to figure out what you want to select in those prompts. But now here's what I just told you. Now I'm actually required to select what virtual machine am I having an issue with. And this is going to become an affected resource in a ticket that also will be available for the service provider to actually view and work with. And you can do two-way communication between the tenant and the service provider. So I give that a description. And now, instead of having a service request, we're actually submitting a request for support, right? So while that is being created, I'm going to show you on the service provider side. I go to my account, the container for all that functionality, and I go to tickets. So I could have some analysts working through with this account. And if I click unresolved tickets, we should see some examples here, I think. There we go. So I created this earlier, but it's the same scenario. So basically, you see that in this case, there are no activities involved. This is a manual process for now, at least. I'm seeking support. We, as the ones that are providing the support, can now see that the affected item is the VM called... There we go. Oh, of course. Was going a bit too well. So this is still work in progress. We're going to hit GA at the same time as Microsoft is going to hit GA. That's our target. Basically, this was just an example of how I could now provide support within that platform. You can do that communication, working on it as the service provider. So now that becomes available on the tenant side as a comment, and you have email notifications going back and forth between the tenant and the service provider based on the event workflow capabilities that we've added here. So to summarize, basically, we've been able to add some what we consider great functionality to Azure Stack, and I want to point out, as I mentioned before, we're not adding any additional footprint in your data center. We're making use of what is available within the stack and just adding additional capabilities for you guys. So I hope that gives a good idea of what you actually are able to add on top of stack. And if you want to see more of this stuff, come and visit GridPro in the booth area, and I'll be glad to show you more of that. Now, with that said, I think I'm going to hand over to Bradley again.
Thank you,
Thank you. Okay. So hopefully you've got a sense. Did you just notice that, by the way? Why don't you just notice? Did that feel like it was a disconnected add-on or something? That was just fluid. It tightly integrated with Azure Stack. That portal experience just felt like it was shipped from Microsoft. It felt like it was just in an integral part of the system. And I think that's a key point I want you to kind of take away from this, is that when the platform is extending, it's extending in the same way that we build solutions and drive that capabilities can be done by our ISVs, and it can also be done with our customers if they need to create a custom solution. there was a whole bunch of functionality that you just saw that doesn't come in the box. But when it was added by that ISV solution, it felt like it was in the box. From adding a workflow around marketplace items, from the way it did that flow through the system with the workflow engine, with the approval process, with the ticketing, it just felt integrated as part of it. And that's a key point. So that integration is not just about a back-end PaaS service, it's about the UI, it's about that connectivity through the entire stack as a way to build that solution. So let's talk about one, a key component is this Azure Resource Manager. Even the Grid Pro solution, while we often talk about the resource manager as a way customers build and deploy applications on top of the resource manager to provision resources, his scenario was actually doing that when he was creating ticket requests or creating the workflow. That was actually flowing through ARM. But instead of going to the compute portion of a resource provider, or going to networking, or going directly to storage, he added a new resource provider, like a new platform service to ARM. And now, once he's done that, that means templates can now reference his service, his RP. His RP now participates in RBAC capabilities. It's an integral part of the system once it's been integrated like that. So ARM is central for how customers access our cloud platform, but it's also essential for how customers can extend it. So right now on the slide, you're seeing kind of this apps, database, compute, networking, and storage. I should add a little dot, dot, dot there. There can be more of those services that plug into ARM that make their services capability. And with each service that you plug in, you actually have the opportunity to create a new portal extension that knows how to talk to that resource provider in a unique way. And that's what GridPro just did. They also showed a portal extension that knew how to talk to the GridPro service on the back end through ARM to provide that rich, integral experience. And ARM basically then defines a way to describe, deploy, and control artifacts in a consistent manner between Azure and Azure Stack. And that's through the JSON templating. And again, it supports complex deployments as well as just a simple VM. But fundamentally, ARM is about describing what needs to happen through a JSON template. It's about provisioning, submitting an action it's going to go out and do. All of these steps I'm describing right now were actually happening in GridPro behind the scenes, with their resource provider as one of the resource providers that was being described on what needed to happen. And then a submission of that provisioning action to their resource provider was taking place. And then the control that's happening, his service is also under RBAC as well. So it's a fully integrated part. I can't stress that enough. Now, if you want to learn more about ARM, there's a great white paper Mark Van Eyck created. I encourage you to go take a look at this white paper, and it's going to talk about ARM and its capabilities. So it's aka.ms, Getting Started with ARM. Go take a read. It's an excellent document. And it's from an operator's point of view. So it's not the typical dev view of ARM. It's from an operator's view. How can an operator take advantage of ARM, and what does it mean to me? So I encourage you to go look at that. But fundamentally, what this is about is growing this one Azure ecosystem, a large ecosystem, some of it that's happening in the public cloud and with marketplace syndication, some of it that's happening from custom developments that are happening in-house, from ISVs. This is all part of our Azure ecosystem that is accruing value, both in Azure and in Azure Stack. Okay, so now you've got this idea that I can add value to Stack, I can put a bunch of stuff in the marketplace, I can even add these custom services or Microsoft PaaS services. But one of the things that comes up is, how do you monetize that? How do you take advantage? Clearly, that's a problem for service providers. They typically don't like to do service offerings for free. But if you're in the enterprise and an IT operator, let me suggest that this is still meaningful to you. One of the things that we're seeing happening in many, many enterprises is something called chargeback or showback, where a department in your organization has a budget for what they're going to use from IT. You have all these kind of budget constraints, and you want to be able to hold another portion of the organization accountable for what they're using from IT. That's using the same model. The same model that is being able to do customer chargeback is being used for organizational, or for service provider billing is being used for organizational chargeback. So now I'm going to introduce Rupi to talk about monetization. Thanks, Rupi. I don't have a clicker. I've been clicking here.
Okay. Cool. Hi, everyone. I'm Rupi Sureshkumar, as Brad mentioned. I'm also a program manager on Azure Stack. And I know this is the part you've been waiting for. How do I make money off of this thing? So let's get into it. All right, so monetizing Azure in your data center. So as Azure Stack is running, as tenants are coming and they're provisioning resources, VMs, et cetera, the meters are constantly spinning. Per minute meters on how long they've been running a VM, how long they've had a storage account provision, networking, et cetera. But beyond that, even those platform services we've been talking about, so the web apps that you might add on top of Azure Stack or even GridPro, these resource providers are also spinning meters to let you know what types of resources your tenants are creating. And finally, the marketplace applications that you're syndicating down from Azure or that you're adding yourself, you can get data on that as well. Because it's very important to understand not only that my tenant was running a VM, but what software were they running on that VM to help you define a new business model around that. And so before we get into how this works for Azure Stack, I'd like to tell you a little bit about how this works in Azure. So in Azure, we have a lot of different things called offers. If you're familiar with Azure, you would have heard of offers. Different types of offers, free trial, MSDN, enterprise offers. What each of these offers really is a different set of prices per meter. So if the free trial offer, if I'm using the free trial offer in Azure, it's like it sounds, it's free. The meters are running for free. But for my other offers, that's not the case. These offers are also defining what regions are available to me as a customer. So when I go to create a VM in Azure, and I'm asked, do I want to create it in West US, Europe, et cetera, those are sometimes being determined by the offer that I'm subscribed to. And finally, these offers are actually determining the quotas that I have access to. So someone on a free trial offer might not have access to create as many VMs as someone on a more advanced offer. And sometimes that's not so easy to see in Azure because our quotas are so large that it can feel unlimited. But oftentimes you might actually hit that quota, and that's when you kind of call Microsoft and say, hey, I need more quota, I need to be able to create more resources in the cloud. And the way that these we can map these offers to usage and then to cash, our customers come into Azure and they're gonna choose an offer, so pay as you go, whatever it is. When I subscribe to an offer, I'm gonna get something called a subscription ID. So this is a unique GUID that identifies me as a customer and my billing relationship to Microsoft. Now, as I provision these resources, these web apps, these VMs, whatever it is, all of them are going to be associated with my unique subscription ID so that then when the resource providers emit these usage meters, they're associated with my subscription ID. This is the data that's going to commerce in Microsoft, and this is the data that ends up producing the bill that you get for your Azure usage. So it's pay as you go, only pay for what you use. So now let's talk about how this works for you managing Azure Stack in your own data center. And it's very similar, but what's different from Azure is you're the provider. So you're actually going to define the offers. How many of you have tried out TP1, Azure Stack TP1? So you might have gone through this task of creating an offer, which includes something called plans and quotas. In that process, you're defining what resources your tenants have access to, what the quotas are, what regions, et cetera. And yeah, you determine the regions available per offer. After that, you're actually going to set prices per meter. And in Azure Stack, you have the ability to have different, the same meter might have a different price depending on what offer a user is subscribed to. And you're billing the customers. And so that's one thing. Azure Stack doesn't come with some billing system where we're then billing your customers. You get to bill your own customers. You get to pick your own business model, whatever that is. You can do as pay as you go, the same way Azure does. Or you might have some other way of monetizing Azure Stack. Or you don't monetize Azure Stack at all, and you're just interested in the chargeback data. But whatever it is, that's up to you. And when we look at that workflow that we looked in Azure, you can see it's working the same exact way in Azure Stack. You're going to create offers that you make available to your tenants so that when they subscribe to that tenant, they also get a subscription ID. And when they provision resources using Azure Resource Manager, whether they're using PowerShell, the UI, it doesn't matter, it's all going to get associated with that subscription ID. And it's all going to be available via API for then it to go to your commerce system, your chargeback solution, whatever it is that you want to use that data to create the bill, say. And so Azure Stack does not create the bill, but it gives you all of the data you need to integrate with your own commerce solution or a third-party commerce solution. And so let's talk about the different options we have. So one thing, you own that tenant onboarding experience. So Azure Stack will help you to create the offers and give your tenant a subscription to that offer, but you might still want to use some other portal where you bring in the customer, you get their credit card details, whatever it is that you need before they can get access to Azure Stack. So you can really own that onboarding experience before they have access to actually create resources in Stack. As far as doing utility-based billing, what you can see right here is a shortened version of something called the Microsoft.commerce API. So if anybody uses Azure, you can go, this is not the full URL, but you can find an API that you can call to get your own usage data in Azure. And we support that exact same API in Azure Stack. So Azure Stack customers can also call this API on their Azure Stack endpoint to get their own usage data. And as the administrator of Azure Stack, you can call a usage API to get the usage of all of your customers. And so it's that same model that we have in Azure, as well as those consistent APIs to get that data. Another capability that we have is to set some prices that show up in the UI. So some customers want to put a flat price on an offer. Say, in order for you to get the gold offer, you must pay $200 up front or whatever it is. Or they want to put prices on something called a SKU. SKUs are the different sizes of VMs. You might want to attribute a price that shows up in the UI like they do in Azure, so that when your customers go to create an A1 VM, they see an estimated price for that. So we have support for that integration. That's what I just talked to. And another thing that we talk about when we talk about commerce integration is the marketplace population that Brad touched upon before. And something I want to show you today is something that we've been working on within the team, kind of like an experiment, to talk about business intelligence data that we can get from Azure Stack. Because whether you're a service provider and you're selling the resources, or you're an enterprise and you're providing IT internally, all organizations who are using Azure Stack are going to have those business intelligence questions, just understanding how the stack is improving their business, how their customers are using it, whatever it is. Some questions might be, who are my top customers? This is all data that's available within the stack data, but how do we figure that out? Who's using this the most? Who got an offer but is actually not really using the resources that I can reach out to and have a conversation with about, do they still need access to Azure Stack? Which services are doing the best on my platform? So as we get into bringing down platform services, you're going to want to understand, are people using web apps? And just generally, how can I better understand how users are using my platform? And so I want to transition into something we put together using Power BI. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with Power BI, but it's just such a wonderful tool because you can feed it, data in an Excel spreadsheet, in a storage account, in a SQL database, and come up with some really beautiful views, really nice reports to share in your organization. So that's kind of what we experimented with. We said, let's take the data that's available in TP1 and TP2, the usage data, the offer data, and what kind of questions can we answer already? So we hooked up Power BI to one of our Azure Stack systems. As you can see, it's small, there's just three offers, but it gets the point across. In this environment, We have three offers. We have the free trial offer, the gold offer, and the silver offer. And immediately I can see my free trial offer is way more popular. That's where I have the most subscriptions. I can look down and I can see which of my customers, who are my customers. So I see myself on there, I see Bradley on there. I can get an idea of who's using my stack. And then I have a breakdown of who's like really using the stack. And in this one, it's very obvious to me that this subscription that's called, I don't know if you can't really read that, I bet. It says tenant of reseller. That's that big square. They're the most usage we're getting on the stack. So that means I have a reseller somewhere who's doing a bomb job at getting people to come in and use the resources on my stack. And we just kind of played around with lots of different drill downs. So here we took the usage data, but we've mapped it over time here. So I took my VM data, storage, networking data. Over time, I could see that there was a lot of utilization in the beginning, and then it went down with time. But then I can drill down. I can drill down by subscription, by owner, by offer. If I click on my own name, and I can see my usage, I can see that, Rupi, she didn't use many VMs or networking resources, but she used a whole lot of storage. And so maybe her offer doesn't need to have VM and networking, allocation, and that's a conversation that we can have. We also broke the data down one level further into the actual meter IDs, and what's interesting here is if you look at that VM data, here we had generic VM usage, but you can also break it down into understanding how many A1 VMs are being used, A2, A3, A4, and see what the popularity of the different VM sizes are. And some other views. This is just more of like a Power BI demo at this point, honestly. There's a VM variance. You can see, how many VMs are being created and how does that vary over time. This one is really cool. This one is picking one meter on one subscription and then animating that meter over time. So I don't know, it looks cool. but I'll go back to showing you how we did this, because it was really simple. So what we did here is Azure Stack, as I talked about, has several API endpoints. So the data we looked at here was what are the offers in Azure Stack, what are the subscriptions in Azure Stack, and what's the usage for all of these subscriptions in Azure Stack. Used PowerShell to call the APIs and funnel this data into Azure Storage. Azure Storage, CSV file if you really like, or a SQL database. You could really funnel this data into any sort of data warehouse where you'd like to keep data longer than it's held in Azure Stack. And then Power BI, if you're not familiar, is already capable of talking to these different types of data sources. So from there, it was a matter, I think the hardest part was getting the data into the storage tables. From there, it's pretty easy to make all those different views. So that's just something I wanted to share with you all to get you thinking about the types of questions you can be answering using the data we're providing and stuff that you can be doing now with TP2 as well. With that, thanks.
I hope what you're starting to see is agility is not just about providing new capabilities, it's also about being able to monetize or account for those capabilities that you're adding to staff. And that's a holistic experience, whether it's a service that was built into the box or whether it's a service that's been added on, it all flows through the same pipeline, including it would light up in that Power BI dashboard. So now I'd like to introduce Joni from CHO.
Thank you. Hello. So my name is Joni Leskinen, and I work as a lead architect in one of our cloud business units. And this business unit actually runs 15,000 VMs on every day. So a couple words about theater managed service in numbers. So in total numbers, we are running about 40,000 VMs. We are operating in three countries. We are operating six different data centers. We have a history of 40 years of IT industry. So we have a huge legacy base with us. And even that we are handling legacy, we are still all also looking for the future and how the public clouds, how we should embrace the public clouds and how our customers are using them. So how we see the Azure and how we see Azure stack is just how we see Azure first. So we offer Azure services as a part of other services that our customers are using. So our customers mainly are the large enterprises in the Nordics, in North Europe, and we offer them a whole pack of IT services, from end-user services for data centers and then clouds and networks and so on. So we want to bring an Azure services, same way that we are bringing them, for example, some capacity services or end-user services or Office 365 services. And those Azure services, even that they are like a high-tech and public cloud services, they still need to follow certain rules. So they need to follow the IT requirements, they need to follow some security. Customers would like to see reporting, and then they're really fond of having a different kind of approvals, like a Grid Pro solution can do it. So what is the MSP value add? On top of that, it's we can offer them Azure services same way that they consume any other services. We can help them on the subscription management. We can help them on the licensing management. And actually, the licensing management is really critical, that it doesn't matter for the application that are they running on private cloud, public cloud, you still have to manage your licenses. You still have to provide reports. And most of the customers usually forget that, hey, it's a public cloud, I don't have to care about the licenses, but it's not true. You still have to think about the licenses. We offer them an automated onboarding. So we give them an automated way of doing access control, so creating accounts for them from Azure. We're also giving them an automated network onboarding. So those guys who are over here who have been doing network onboarding for Azure, it's not easy. So we are helping our customers to do those kind of things automatically. We give them a billing and cost allocation. So the IT departments usually likes to spread the costs for those units who are actually using it. We add them, give them add-on services like monitoring of VM. I mean, inside of the VM. We give them patching services so they can order automated patching or some kind of control of patching. We help them to maintain the operating systems, and we give them security, antivirus, IPS, and stuff like that. So there's an add-ons on top of Azure. And we think about Azure Stack, it's just another location inside of Azure. So we can offer them different countries, we can offer them Azure services on different networks. So there are lots of legacy customers who don't have a connectivity to internet, for example, from their data center networks. So we can offer them same kind of services that it could be running on public Azure with the internet connectivity. We will offer them same value-added services again. And what makes different between the Azure and Azure Stack is that we can meet security compliance rules. There are some governmental requirements that we have to follow. There might be like a smaller countries that have rules that the Azure will never comply. We can do it. It's our bread and we're doing that every day. We can offer them an Azure-like services in really close to the customer, so we can be there like a like 5 milliseconds away from the customer for some specific applications, we can give them a different kind of SLAs. So the, if you go with Azure, you get the certain SLA. We can give a different SLA. We can actually give it the tighter SLA, but that actually is a commercial discussion. So like an insurance stuff. And we can also offer them a dedicated computing platform. So I think you know about EA agreement and SA, software assurance, and if you don't buy the software assurance, you cannot use the shared platform, so you cannot use the cloud platforms. But with Azure Stack, we can offer them dedicated Azure Stack that it still follows the licensing rules, that you can run your existing licenses on Azure Stack services. Then there's an example of one of our business units is running an energy utility cloud. So they're offering a billing information and collecting information from the electric systems. And that's our, it's actually 25 years old application that we are selling to our customers. Now we are renewing it. We have doing that for last 2 years. And we changed that model that it used to be an installation per customer in customer premises. Now it's a SaaS-based offering coming from Azure. So it was designed for the Azure single installation, multiple customers, but there are also customers who require a high security. Think about in electricity utility business. The customers they are running a nuclear power plants. So we are inheriting some more security rules because of those kind of certain situations. So the idea in this case is that we will collect information, we will have some installation in our data center, we will put the information in Azure, and from Azure, end user can go to the portal, get billing information from certain electricity measurements. We can use the Azure's really strong BI capabilities, and we can offer them a public API. Because this is heavily regulated area, there are some requirements coming from the government. But for example, in event of national crisis, they have to bring back the services inside the one specific country, so inside the borders, and they have to do it on certain dates. And with Azure and Azure Stack technology, we can actually test this. We can practice this one, and it's a good business case. Because technology is same, we can do it once, and when we can deploy to the public, we can deploy to the private, and we are compliant with those needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so hopefully you've actually seen quite a bit today when we talk about service agility. You've seen the ability to add new marketplace content. You've seen the ability to add new PaaS services, talk about the solution approach to which PaaS services we're bringing down. You've seen the tight integration of an ISV solution as a new service that's been added, along with a new immersive UI that tightly integrates to both the administrative view and the tenant view. You've seen how those services can be monetized and drive business intelligence and business decision making. You've seen also how just the location of Azure Stack itself is enabling service delivery itself by being able to locate it in different geographies and to meet different businesses' requirements that you have for doing service delivery in different for different customers. So at this point, I'd kind of like to open it up for any questions. We'll use the time that remains for questions about what you can do with Azure Stack from an operator's perspective to meet your customers' needs. So go ahead and grab a mic if you have a question. And other than that, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. So, questions. Don't be bashful. Okay, quick show of hands. Any service providers in the audience? Okay, we have a couple. Did you see anything that you're looking for that you need that wasn't here? Okay, well, it looks like we're meeting those needs. You'll have to wait and see. You want to get it and play with it. So get TP2. Everything that you saw demoed here today is working on TP2, with the exception that you need to get the extra RP to syndicate the Azure Marketplace. about enterprise IT shops? Okay, a couple of those. Interested, I'd like to know how many of the IT shops, internal operators, are moving to a showback or payback or cross-charging model for usage in the enterprise. Got a couple here. Another over there. Excellent. So all those service provider scenarios directly relate for doing the chargeback model within the enterprise. And also driving, even if you're not doing chargeback, at least doing the analytics to get some usage insights to your platform. And using Power BI, and the nice thing about Power BI is, you know, those aren't like pre-baked reports that you can't change. It's the data stream that's there, and then you have the ability to design those custom reports to meet your needs, whatever they are, to glean those insights that are important to your business. Okay, what about ISVs, building solutions? Any ISVs in the audience? Couple? Would you mind sharing your, go up and tell us your ISV solution that you're working on or thinking about working on?
Sure. So we're Chem Technologies. We're building the load balancers. We are in Azure Marketplace, so it's with the layer 7 that we're bringing into Azure.
You know, I just love that. So I don't know if you could hear that. They have an Azure solution today. It's an L7 load balancer that they're building for Azure. It's made available through the Azure Marketplace. And now they're looking at how they can bring that same L7 load balancer that they've been building for Azure and now make that available to Azure Stack operators. That's exactly the type of scenario we're trying to enable here and that we'll be bringing with Azure Stack. Thank you very much. Yes, please. Did somebody else? Oh, yes, sir. Hey, that's a great question. And the question was, hey, there's a lot of great data that we just showed running in Azure Stack. You know, you did this Power BI dashboard and we showed a solution where you could kind of siphon it out. I want to try to simplify the question is, why can't I just log into Azure and just see it light up there? You know, why can't I just use Azure Power BI and look at my data right there in the cloud? Do I have to do this thing on the pipeline in Azure Stack or can it just be part of the service? We're actually experimenting with solutions like that right now. Because that's ideally, we'd like to be in a model that would allow you to do just that. This new service we're building into Azure that syndicates the Azure Marketplace, you can see that service from Azure. You do have an account, it lights up, it shows up there. So we're looking at ways to do that. But bear in mind that Azure Stack also supports the fully disconnected submarine scenarios. I'm behind a secure firewall. There is no pipe going back. So in all of these scenarios, it's kind of an opt-in kind of environment. So we definitely need to always support the dedicated, behind the firewall, never going to go outside kind of scenarios. We don't want to break those. That's one of the value props of Azure Stack. But there will be, and in those scenarios, they can use the Power BI solution that we just demonstrated today. But we are looking for ways to provide an integral experience if you are willing to connect back. Okay? Any other questions? All right. Oh, yes, sir, please. So the question is, does Azure Stack come with a load balancer, or do they have to provide that on top of Azure Stack? Is that your question? So Azure Stack does come with a load balancer. It's a self-contained cloud complete, and one of the capabilities of the networking stack that we're using from Azure includes a load balancer, a hardware load balancer. Oh, do we have anybody from the hardware team? Charles, do you want to talk to that? Charles, hang on. I'm going to give you the mic.
There's a software load balancer in the box. In fact, it's in the technical preview, I believe. In the multi-node configuration, we definitely deploy that. And then it is leveraged by the infrastructure, but also as part of building ARM templates or something like that, you can leverage the load balancer resource as well. So tenants would be able to take advantage of the Azure, the one that's, you know, available in templates and used today. So, but like for one node, for instance, if you download the technical preview 2 today, it's just software and you're supplying a host, so there's no physical load balancer there. So, and then for the integrated solution, I don't think we've talked through those specs, and I don't have that information here. Yeah, and it is the Wednesday at 9 a.m. session that's up there that talks about infrastructure. So,
on the board, Wednesday session, 9 a.m., would be a great session to learn more about the infrastructure that we have.
But as far as tenants using a load balancer, a lot of ARM templates today, in fact, the web apps template that was in TP1, if you played around with it, had a load balancer in there. We have some example templates in the GitHub repository that use the resource for a load balancer. It's part of the networking resources that are offered.
So the question was about, is there a future to support the service bus capability from Azure? Yeah, absolutely. We're engaged with the service bus team right now. And what their roadmap is, and we're really prioritizing that based on our solutions. The service bus is one of the teams we're working with. Now, the way this works, each Azure service, as they start to prioritize and bring their services to Azure Stack, think of those almost like marketplace capabilities for operators. So Azure Stack comes with a set of foundational services that are built in out of the box, and then you get additional services that you can deploy on as they're made available from Azure. So in that case, Service Bus would be one of those services that is made available for download and distribution in the stack. That's how web apps or app services deploys as well. Matter of fact, those services, if you look at the web apps, app services deployment on Azure Stack, it's actually using an ARM template as well for how it deploys and hydrates itself on Azure Stack. Matter of fact, Service Bus was listed in one of my slides there, so yes. Yes, sir. What does this mean if you have Azure Pack and CPS? Is it coming up in another session? Do we have it? I'll mention it here. It was just shown. I think it's being shown in, which session is it? Wednesday at 12:30. So go to the Wednesday at 12:30 session. But to save you, to answer your question directly, it's an integration between Azure Pack and Azure Stack. And what we're allowing is the seamless management of resources between those two systems. So what's happening is Azure Pack is being updated to support integration into the Azure Stack management experience. So when you log in, we actually call it our WAP connector, if you will. When you log into Azure Stack, if you also have an account with a WAP subscription in a WAP CPS solution, you'll be able to then see your WAP resources in the Azure Stack portal, but they're still running in System Center and WAP and whatnot. So think of them as companion workloads with a single pane of glass. Will you be able to move resources? The question is, will you be able to move resources between the two? Moving resources is a little more tricky, and that is going to be very similar to moving resources to Azure. So just like you do to move a resource to Azure, you could use the same techniques of basically exporting and re-importing and bringing them in, but it's a more involved process. So we're starting with co-manage, and then there'll be tooling to help support the ability to bring something down and bring it back up. And we've met with a lot of customers on this. I'd love to get your feedback, and maybe we could have that conversation after the session. Many of our customers have told us today, look, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, I've got a workload that's already running on the WAP VMM system. I just need to keep it running. And they're going to maybe put new deployments over on the Azure Stack, but at least I want to be able to manage both holistically. And then at some point in time, I may look at moving it over, but that's not my immediate concern. My immediate concern is co-management, and then at some point, I may look at moving workloads over if I decommission it. That's kind of a secondary scenario. And so we're kind of following that path. Yes, sir. Great question. So the question is, how does Azure Stack work with existing hypervisors and stuff? So Azure Stack is an integrated system. So I really need to start with there. It's not a software solution. It's an integrated system from Dell, HPE, and Lenovo. So it's coming built in as an appliance. They are all running on Hyper-V is the underlying hypervisor, as is Azure, by the way. So our Azure Public Cloud is a Hyper-V-based solution. So this is not a generalized manage your data center type tool. This is an Azure instance that you deploy in your data center. That's the best way to think of Azure Stack, is an Azure instance that you deploy in your data center to run Azure workloads, and then it needs to integrate with the rest of your data center for you know whatever tools you're using to manage your data center would then also be used to help interact and manage with Azure Stack. But it is a Azure workload that you're deploying, an Azure instance. That's the best way to think about it. Yes? No, we haven't. We're still not yet talking about the pricing model and how that's going to work with hosters and stuff, but that is being developed, and so nothing I can share today. That's correct. So the question, I'm going to repeat it. Does it come from Dell pre-configured? Like, what am I buying? Am I buying just a bunch of hardware is going to show up on my dock and I got to assemble it and then get a bunch of software from Microsoft and put it on? How's this going to work? It's a pre-configured, pre-loaded appliance. It's going to land on your in your center as a pre-installed Azure instance, ready to go. So the question was about support. And quite honestly, we're still working through some of the support. It'll definitely be a joint venture between Microsoft and our OEM partners for providing support. Okay, but the details are still being worked out exactly. But it is a joint support statement between our OEMs and Microsoft. And some of these other sessions, we'll go into more of those details, especially when we get into the infrastructure management components, where they'll talk a lot more about the hardware capability in the platform. Yeah, the architecture one is also on there as well, which will go into the hardware architecture. Today was more of a software kind of architecture. Okay. We're warming up a little bit. Any more? Okay, I thank you very much for joining our session today. Hopefully you got a good view of how you can extend Azure Stack offerings to bring more value to your customers. Thank you very much.